At one time or another, most of us tried to use some type of messaging service to deliver a message. We almost expect people to have some kind of service which will allow us to deliver or to leave them a message. We find people sometimes, they rely on the ability to leave a message via phone call. Maybe it's a text message, maybe it's an email, or maybe it's actually a letter. If we look at the Bible, we find various cases where people were sometimes commissioned or allowed to deliver a message. One of the places where we find a message being delivered is in the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter. In Exodus 9:13, a passage that we're going to read in just a moment, we find that God told Moses, "I want you to go, and I want you to deliver a message." Moses, this message is going to be delivered to the leader of Egypt, to Pharaoh. God said that this message was a message that needed to be delivered early. Moses was told to rise up early in the morning and to stand before Pharaoh. God's message to Pharaoh was not new. Pharaoh had heard this message many times before, and now let's look at the actual text, Exodus 9, verse 13. And Jehovah said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me." We live in a time which is far removed from the time of Moses and the Egyptians. But even though there's a vast difference in time between his day and our day, there are, I think, still several parallels between our time and what we find here in Exodus chapter 9. For instance, we find that there was a servant of God, Moses, in Exodus 9. Today, we still find that God has his servants today. We also, as we look at Exodus 9, verse 13, find that God, the same God that exists today, had a message for someone. Today, God still has a message for people. Moses' message to Pharaoh involved bondage, physical bondage. Today, God has a message for people. It's still a message about bondage. But God's message today, rather than focus on physical bondage, the bondage that is of primary importance in our time is spiritual bondage. This past week, I don't know if others saw the report or not, but this past week there was some talk about world leaders, key people in the world, trying to get together and eliminate poverty. World leaders from various countries think that there is hope. People in high office think that it may be possible to one day completely eliminate extreme poverty. Now, the first thing that went through my mind as I heard that was it would be great if that could be accomplished. But did Jesus not say in John 12, verse 8, the poor are always going to be with you? Well, he said that. And your definition or my definition of poor may be a little different than the world leaders, but the idea that we can eliminate poverty or extreme poverty, we might be able to reduce it, but the idea that we can eliminate it seems to be contrary to what Jesus said. There is, though, as I think about what was said and consider what's found in Exodus 9, there is a second point, and it is a more important point, and that is, we have a message. As important, as valuable as it would be to eliminate poverty, extreme poverty, there's something that man needs a lot more. Shortly after the resurrection, Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15 to his people, you need to go. You need to head out into the world. And the Lord said, as you go out into the world, I want you to share a message. I want you to communicate, Jesus said, a very special message. And that message is summed up by the word saved in Mark 16, verse 16. Now back in Exodus 9, and in just a moment I'm going to start reading with Exodus 9, verse 18, and go down to verse 26 in Exodus 9. But back here in Exodus 9, Moses' message is one of salvation. And that's what we have, a message of salvation, but it's a more important type of salvation. Exodus 9, starting out with verse 18 and reading down through what we find in verse 26. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since it was founded, even until now. Now therefore send, hasten in thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for every man and beast that shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feareth the word of Jehovah among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Verse 21. And he that regarded not the word of Jehovah left his servants and his cattle in the field. And Jehovah said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. 23. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and Jehovah sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down unto the earth. And Jehovah rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous. such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. God's message through Moses was, believe my word or die. Very simple message. God said, this is going to happen. You have not let my people go, and this is what's going to happen. If you do not believe me, you're going to die. Your animals are also going to die. Well, as we look at our message, do we not have a similar message? Yes. God's message for our day and time, that spiritual message is, believe my word or die. And that death is not going to be just physical death. God's message to us is far more serious. If people do not accept his message of salvation, it's not going to be just the loss of personal property, as we read about in Exodus chapter 9. It's not going to be just the loss of physical life, as we see in Exodus chapter 9. God's message that is to be presented through our hands is that this is an eternal message. This is a message which involves our eternal destiny. It is a message of heaven or hell. If people do not heed the message that God has asked us and told us to communicate, they're going to go to a place which the Bible refers to as hell or the second death. It is great to eliminate poverty, if such were possible. But you know, imagine eliminating poverty. And the people whose bellies were filled throughout life, they go to an eternal hell. In the end, eliminating poverty is not going to be all that helpful. As we think about the destruction, Exodus 9, as we think, for instance, about the animals that were destroyed, those creatures could have been replaced. And surely were. The trees and the plants, given enough time, they were able to be restored. The hail that fell eventually melted. But when we think about the message that we have, the message related to the place called hell, hell never gets any cooler. And the torment associated with it is never going to end. Moses, as he looks at that message in Exodus chapter 9, he took it in a serious way. He knew that God had communicated a message through him, and he wanted to make sure that he did what was necessary as far as fulfilling God's plan. And such needs to be true for us. We, as we look at our lives, and we may seem to be such a small group of people compared to the world, but we have the most important message that man will ever hear. Our message is that there is only one way to the Father. The world says there are a lot of ways to God. But Jesus in John 14, verse 6, I am the way. There is no other way besides me. Jesus in John 14, verse 6 said that he's the truth. There is no spiritual truth outside of Christ. If we want spiritual life, if we want to go to the Father, there is no way, Jesus said, but through him. In the scriptures, we're clearly told what a man must do or what a woman must do to be saved from his or her sins. I recently, as I think about the last couple of weeks, had an uncle die. And if I understand what the Bible teaches about sin and salvation, this uncle, this relative, he died in his sins. When it's time for people to be sentenced to heaven and hell, if I understand the scriptures correctly, he is going to be among the people who are sentenced to hell. Now, I'll tell you that my uncle was a religious man. I was in his home several years ago, and I can remember him showing me, as well as Teresa, his Oral Roberts Bible. He had a Bible inscribed from Oral Roberts, and he was proud of that Bible. More than 20 years ago, my uncle, my deceased uncle, started to talk about the kingdom. He had some premillennial ideas. He thought, at least at the time, that Jesus was going to come back to this earth and reign for 1,000 years. During the course of that conversation, my Bible knowledge was not all that great. Teresa and I were newer Christians. But I did know enough. We were living down south at the time, and I did know enough that there was a book that a member of the church had published that talked about the kingdom. And it helped explain, in biblical terms, some of the things that he believed were contrary to the scriptures. Well, at that time, I really wasn't in a position to have a knowledgeable discussion. And because my knowledge wasn't that great, we bought a copy of the book. And we had a copy of that material shipped to my uncle. To this day, I do not know how much he read from the book. But I do know enough to say that he read enough to get mad. And he got not just mad, I mean, he got really, really angry. There may have been a much better approach to teach him in those circumstances, I don't know. But I will tell you this. That uncle closed that door when it came to that part of God's message. It is no fun. It is no fun for me. It's no fun for anyone else. to try to share that message of salvation with people, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and be rejected. If we try to communicate with a relative and share that information, and we experience some kind of rejection, it's painful. It's hurtful. It's not a pleasant experience. And even if we think, well, I'm not related to this person, but this individual that I'd like to share God's message with, that needed message, this person is somehow above me. It can seem difficult. More than a few have been frightened, maybe terrified, to try to share the message of salvation with someone who appears to be more important, more prominent, or have more authority than they do. Moses, though, is a great example of this as we look at Exodus chapter 9. Who is he standing before? Pharaoh. He's standing before that ruler that has authority. He's got the power of life and death. And one word, and it's off with Moses' head. And yet Moses, as he looked at his life, he knew that he had a message from God. He knew that he needed to be faithful to that message. So he goes to Pharaoh early in the morning and essentially says, "This is what God says." He may not have been very eager to go and share that message, but he was faithful. And that's what God requires from us today. One of the things that can encourage us to, as we look at our world, try to reach out with God's message is found in Exodus 9, verse 16. Now, if you were just reading through Exodus 9 and maybe in a hurry to get on to some other things, you might miss what's said in verse 16. But if we pause here and take a close look at verse 16, there's something here I think that merits close attention. The text says, "But in very deed for this cause have I made thee to stand, to show thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." To those that were in ancient Egypt, the ruler, the Pharaoh, seemed like a god. This ruler, as I mentioned a moment ago, he had absolute power. Today, people might complain that the president of their company, or their country has too much power, and they're not being checked enough by various other branches of government. But in this particular situation, Pharaoh was the ruler. If we could go back and look at this country and culture, we would find that there were great structures, and this country, it just radiated the power of Pharaoh. As you look at verse 16, notice carefully these words, "I made thee to stand." In other words, verse 16 is saying to Pharaoh, you did not get to where you are on your own. Verse 16, said in another way, is saying there was someone, there was something else that allowed you to get to this great, this prominent place. Well, who or what was this power? To whom does the pronoun I in verse 16 refer? Well, it refers to God. God said, Pharaoh, here you are. You're the ruler. You're the one who's in charge. But you're here because I put you here. Had it not been for God, who knows what would have happened with this man. But God said, you're here so I can demonstrate my power. And this point is not just found in Exodus 9, verse 16. You may remember that it's also found in the New Testament. Pilate, in John 19, verse 10, said to Jesus, I've got the power to release you. As I think about that statement, I kind of wondered how Pharaoh was positioned, what he looked like, whether he was standing up straight or exactly what he looked like. But Jesus, in John 19, verse 11, the very next verse, told this man, this ruler, you're mistaken. Pilate, Jesus said, would have no power unless it had been given you from above. In other words, God's the one who rules in the kingdom of men. Therefore, Pharaoh, you're in power because God willed it. Pilate, you're in power. You have authority over me because God has allowed it. It is God's will. 4 years in the military taught me some important things about the gospel. I can tell you that as a young recruit, I went in when I was in the 18, 19 year age bracket. And for the first couple of years before I turned 20, there were some officers who intimidated me. When I was 19, I worked not far from the office of a lieutenant colonel. And that lieutenant colonel liked to shout. Even when he answered his phone, Colonel Wallace! And I can still remember that voice bellowing down the hall. And as a 19-year-old, that terrified me. I didn't want to go into Colonel Wallace's office, even if I'd done something good. Being in the presence of a full-bird colonel, and I had that experience on some occasions, made me nervous. And then there was a two-week period where I was sent to Florida for a brief assignment, and a one-star general was operating, manning, heading that operation. And the one star was about from me to Jeff, and that made me nervous. I just kind of wanted to hide behind the desk for a while. But we have a message for our world, and that message is not for the people who are under us or the people who are equal to us. The message that we have is for all people. And it may seem like, oh, how could I possibly try to influence him or her? But as we look at Exodus 9, the message is for all people. Because God is the one who's over all, and he's given us that message. I find it interesting as I think about this point to consider what Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 22. In the final chapter of this book, towards the end, Paul refers to Christians in a special place. He says there were saints in the household of Caesar. Have you ever thought about that? How'd they get there? Caesar was the most powerful ruler in the ancient world, and yet the Bible says the gospel, this precious message of salvation, had gotten to people in his household. Well, Exodus 9, Philippians 4, 22 tells us that in today's world, the gospel, that message is appropriate, it's right, it's needed for the CEO, the president of the company for which we work. It's needed for the superintendent or the principal of the school where we go. It's needed by the CEO of the corporations like Microsoft, the heavy hitters in society. It's needed for our state officials. It's needed for our federal officials, all the way up the chain, regardless of who they are. Some who are here may know the name of Otis Gatewood. I know more about him because of reading rather than spending time with him, but when we were in Fort Wayne, we did have the chance on at least one occasion to spend a little time with him. He was a longtime missionary, did a lot of work in Germany and some other places. He died about 15 years ago. He died in 1999. And one of the things, probably the thing that stands out most in my mind about Otis Gatewood was the fact that in 1992, he had a meeting with Mikhail Gorbachev. Talked about salvation. Now, can you imagine that? You go to a leader who has been immersed in communism, and kindly and politely, you need to become a Christian. You need to believe in Christ. There is no other way but him. You need to repent. And President Gorbachev, you need to be baptized. You need to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Closer to home, you may remember when we were doing house to house. For a while, we had a poster on the wall where you come in, a house to house poster. And that poster said, from our house to the White House. If you looked at that information, or if you will recall what it said, basically some of the house to house material had made it to some key people in the White House. Great. Good news. Caesar's household, if you will, for our day and time. People need to hear God's message because a day, a very, very special day is coming. And this special day is going to be a very bad day for some folks. This day is going to be a lot worse than what Egypt experienced in Exodus chapter 9. Back there in the verses that were read, Exodus 9 verse 18 says that hail was going to fall in Egypt. And this hail was going to be unlike anything that had occurred in Egypt since its founding. God said that it's going to be so bad, it's going to kill animals, it's going to break trees, it's going to do a lot of damage. Well, we can make a similar statement, perhaps a similar comparison when it comes to the place called hell. God says this place is going to be far worse than anyone has experienced in this life. Hell's going to be worse than any disease. It's going to be worse than any injury or any attack on the body and any pain that we can experience. Several years ago, Teresa and I knew a Christian who died of bone cancer. I've seen some people die in various ways and of some different things. But I think out of all the people that I have watched suffer in some way, this person suffered the most. Bone cancer is a horrible way to die. And as I thought about this man this past week, I suspect that there are some people in hell. There will be people in hell who would surely be delighted to exchange their circumstances for the suffering of the man who died from bone cancer. Exodus 9 verse 19 has, as we think about this message, it communicates to people, you need to hasten. The hail's coming. And you need to hurry up. You need to go out and get those animals. You need to go out and get the servants in the field, and you need to bring them in because destruction is on the way. Well, again, this is something that we can parallel to our day and time. Folks that are not in the right relationship with God, if we know them, we need to encourage them to be obedient. And we need to hasten in this regard. Our message needs to be like Paul described in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 2. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the time to get right with God. Do not think that we have another day because our life is like a vapor. Do not think that we have to wait a while to get everything in order. We don't know that we're going to have the fullness of today or even tomorrow. That's the devil's lie. Today is the time to get right with God. As we looked at this morning in that study on repentance, it's time for all people to repent. The Bible says in Acts 17, the time has come for all men everywhere to repent. Back in Exodus 19, we find that Moses, he stretches forth his rod into heaven, and the judgment of God came. The judgment of God fell. There was thunder, there was hail. there was fire that came to the earth, grievous hail came down, and the unprepared were doomed. When we think about just one of these items, the thunder, it is something today which causes animals and sometimes people to scatter for cover. We get warnings from the National Weather Service when it comes to hail. Fire is something that people flee from. But as bad as the hail and the fire and the thunder, all these things were, the scriptures tell us that hell is going to be far, far worse. We thus have an urgent message for our world. God's real. His promises, his positive promises are real, but his negative promises of judgment and eternal destruction are also real. We have the promise that one day each individual is going to stand before Jesus Christ. If we have not obeyed him, our only hope, and we have only one, our only hope is Jesus Christ. We must, as Jesus said, repent or perish. And thankfully, if we're willing to turn to God, there is a place we can find absolute safety. Thinking again about Exodus 9, do you remember from verse 26? Where was the place where people were able to avoid the hail? The land of Goshen. No hail in Goshen, thankfully. At the time of the Lord's return, there will be some people who will be able to avoid God's wrath. Not because they lived in Goshen, but because they chose to be in Christ, the place where salvation is. Next Sunday, this has been announced a couple of times. I do want to make mention of it this evening as well. After the potluck, we'll reassemble about 2:30. And prior to the potluck, we're going to have an informational meeting. So some of the things discussed at that meeting are related to tonight's material. We have a message from God. And we want to make sure that as we think about that message, we do our best to communicate it to people. Not everybody may respond, but that's okay. Our job, Jesus said, is simply to sow the seed, to be the deliverer of the message, as we find with Moses in Exodus chapter 9. Our task is to communicate that message as widely as we can. This morning, we announced two new tools to communicate God's message. There is the book, Muscle and the Shovel, and if you've not signed up for that tonight before you leave, we'll have the sign-up sheet up there for at least a couple more weeks, but I'd encourage you to get a copy of that book. That will help sharpen your abilities as far as, being grounded in what is described or associated with New Testament Christianity. And it's also a book which can be lent to people. About 7,000 people have become Christians just by reading the book. Now, that's an amazing statistic. And that's a tool that we're trying to get into the hands of people. We've also created some cards, in this case, cards specifically for ladies. I've had the chance to use those, or at least use the technique, I guess that's a better way of describing it, even without the cards. And so far, I've not had any little woman slap me or say I'm not interested. But with those cards, generally, I've asked ladies, and several of them were strangers to me, do you read the Bible? Well, yes. Would you be interested in some Monday through Friday articles related to things associated with Christian womanhood? Invariably, they say yes. So cards are good to give out to friends, to associates that we have that are interested in spiritual things. But even the people that don't, we want to sow that seed. We want to make that available as widely as possible because, like Moses, we have a message from God. And God asks us if we're going to be faithful. One of the greatest things that we can do in life, and there may be a lot of things when it comes to life that we're not all that good at. Some things that we may wish to accomplish that are never accomplished. But you know, we can, to the very best of our ability, on a regular basis, take God's word and try to, with it, sow some seeds in life. Will that be something that we commit to, not only tonight, but this week and throughout our lives? Let's be like Moses, and let's be faithful with the message God has given to us. If we need some help in that way, tonight we'd like to encourage you to accept the prayers of the people who are here. If you're someone who has not yet obeyed God's message, you also have an opportunity to do that tonight. If you believe, and if you're willing to turn your life around so it starts conforming to God's will, this evening you can confess that Jesus is the way, as we learn from John 14, verse 6. And you can come into a spiritual body. Goshen was a place of safety. The Bible says salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 1:10, and we're baptized into Christ to access that safety, and then we continue to abide in him and continue to enjoy that spiritual refuge. Tonight, if there's a way that we can help you become a Christian or strengthen you as a Christian, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.